Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for February 2nd, 2007. This week, we're going to answer a listener's question about what the appendix is for and tell you how amnesia affects the future as well as the past. And stay tuned until the end for an invitation to a Science Update event and news about a new Science Update daily podcast. But first, is there life on Mars? It's the question that won't seem to go away. The problem is that we don't even know what we're looking for. Chelsea Wald has this report on one new hypothesis.
Did the Viking missions of the 70s find life on Mars? Despite some curious data, most scientists believe they didn't. But now astrobiologist Dirk Schultze-McCook of Washington State University says the data may suggest life of a different kind. On Earth, life is based on water, which would freeze on Mars. But Schultze-McCook points out that life based on a mix of water and hydrogen peroxide could survive.
The hydrogen peroxide water solution is actually quite neat in that way that it would allow near-surface life on Mars at current conditions. And not only that, it would explain nicely the Viking results.
If this sort of life does exist, and it's still a huge if, he suspects it would be tiny and single-celled. He adds that the experiments Viking performed not only would have missed this life, they almost certainly would have killed it.
Thanks, Chelsea. A gene called APOE4 has been linked to both Alzheimer's disease and outbreaks of cold sores. To understand why, neurologist Howard Fedoroff and his colleagues at the University of Rochester School of Medicine are studying the cold sore virus, herpes simplex 1. Fedoroff's team found that the virus behaves differently in the brains of mice who carry the APOE4 gene.
They tend to shift the balance between the so-called active form of herpes replication versus the latent form, where the virus becomes dormant in favor of it being more active.
In addition, prior studies have found that human Alzheimer's patients with APOE4 have elevated levels of herpes DNA in their brains. But Fedoroff says we still don't know if having both the gene and the virus increases your risk of Alzheimer's. Next, Justin Warner has a report on a different memory disorder.
Everyone knows that people with amnesia can't remember past experiences. Now, University College London cognitive neuroscientist Eleanor McGuire and her colleagues have shown that some amnesia patients also have trouble envisioning experiences they haven't had yet.
They were very impaired at imagining both fictitious events, such as lying on a sandy beach, but also experiences that might actually happen to them in the future. So the next time you're going to meet a friend, for example.
Her subjects all had damage to a part of the brain called the hippocampus, a known center of memory. And while they couldn't fully imagine new experiences, the patients could vividly describe specific details, like the sand on a beach.
The patients themselves had some insight into this. What they said was that they could see all the elements of the experience, but found it very difficult to put these elements together in a spatially coherent way.
This suggests that the hippocampus may organize all mental images, including memories and fantasies, into coherent pictures. It also implies that memories themselves aren't merely passive records of the past, but active reconstructions that the brain assembles and reassembles just like daydreams.
Thanks, Justin. The Adelaide Zoo in Australia just wrapped up a primate display on people. Groups of humans lived inside an enclosure 1 week at a time while zoo visitors watched through windows and live webcams. An animal psychologist also lived inside, studying the humans in this not-so-natural habitat and learning what it's like to live in a fishbowl environment. The human zoo is next door to exhibits with other primates, giving zoo visitors a chance to compare and contrast. In other news, a new website at www.wikileaks.org allows people to post secrets anonymously. The site hides the identity of the person posting documents and other information and is intended to help whistleblowers and repressive societies leak information without being arrested. Finally, Chelsea's here to answer a listener's question.
Listener Megan Salazar of Escondido, California, called with this question.
What is your appendix for, anyway?
Well, biologist Dan Fong of American University says the appendix is widely considered a vestigial organ, meaning it's left over from an earlier time in our evolution.
Appendix probably was a very large chamber in our distant ancestors to house a lot of bacteria to digest the plant material when our diet had included a lot of plant material. When we switched over to a meat-based diet, we had less use for that, and in fact now we don't have any use for it.
And of course it can cause problems, requiring an appendectomy if it gets inflamed. If you have a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT or submit it at scienceupdate.com. If we use it in the podcast, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Chelsea. Well, remember, the free AAAS Family Science Days are coming up. If you're in the San Francisco area, or even if you're not, come to the San Francisco Hilton on February 17th or 18th. Chelsea and I will be there from 11 to noon on both days, collecting your science questions and passing out free Science Update mugs to podcast listeners. To get a free mug, you must take one of us aside and say the password, Why Is It? As if that's not enough, you'll also get to meet the hosts of the popular show Mythbusters. You can learn more about Family Science Days and the AAAS annual meeting at AAAS.org. We hope to see you there. Also, starting Wednesday, February 5th, that's this upcoming Wednesday, we're going to be releasing a new daily podcast feed. Instead of getting all five stories together in one 6 or 7 minute show, as you do in this podcast, you'll be able to get a new 1 minute story every weekday. If you want to subscribe to that feed, you'll be getting the same stories that are in this show, just in a different format. Keep an eye on scienceupdate.com next week for more information. Well, that's all for this week. Next time, we'll talk more about vestigial organs and also about why it might not be so good for you to sit up straight. In the meantime, visit us at www.scienceupdate.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.